أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قتل الإنسان ما أكفره، من أي شيء خلقه، من نطفة خلقه فقدره، ثم السبيل يسره، ثم أماته فأقبره، ثم إذا شاء أنشره، كلا لما يقض ما أمره. فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه أنا صببنا الماء صبا، ثم شققنا الأرض شقا، فأنبتنا فيها حبا وعنبا وقضبا وزيتونا ونخلا وحدائق غلبا وفاكهة وأبا متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم. صدق الله العظيم. In these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of our reality. Who are we? And really, normally human being forgets who is he. There are two different ways we can look at ourselves, that who we are. One is, if we look at our beginning and our end, what we are made out of, we can really realize that we are nothing. And then with this in mind, when we look at our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the kalam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which is Quran al-Kareem, and the wisdom message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, and the guidance and tawfiq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us to recite His words, to worship Him, to say His zikr, to say His name, we can really feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. That a human being who's made out of a drop of semen, the dirtiest thing we might see around, and we all are made out of the same thing, and the human being that's full of all of these dirt, a little hole in the body will make the blood come out, little hit on the body will make the pus get together over there, some of that would come out, it will stink so bad that we cannot smell it ourselves, the air comes out of our body, we try to run away from ourselves. With all of this dirt, nose we have to clean it, mouth we have to clean it, eyes we have to clean them, ears we have to clean them, stomach and every food that goes in it, it has to be clean, and nails and hairs and everything. Just think how we are full of these dirt. So a human being who is full of all of these dirt, sometimes we feel that we are so big and we consider ourselves so great that we even forget the greatest one, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we forget the Creator. We forget who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. Whoever will know himself will know his Lord. If we won't know who we are, then we won't know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When we forget about ourselves and we feel that we are great, then to ask, who is Allah? I'm great by myself. Because of my intelligence, because of my knowledge, because of my education, because of my power, because of my abilities, I'm great. But if we know who we are, what we are made out of, هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. Wasn't there a time for a human being that he wasn't even something to be remembered, to be named? Nothing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us out of a drop of semen. Look at this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ. Human being is cursed. مَا أَكْفَرَ. How ungrateful he is. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what did he create him? The ayah is questioning us. That, oh human being, who is so ungrateful to Allah, who never remember your Lord, who never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. Out of what he has created you. Then he replies himself, مِنْ نُطْفَ. Created you out of a drop of semen. مِنْ نُطْفَ. Then he says, خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. Allah created him. Then قَدَّرَهُ, perfected him. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ. Then made the path easy for him. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then caused him to die and puts him back into the grave. This is human being. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what did he create him? مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. Created him from a drop of semen. ثُمَّ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. He created him. Then فَقَدَّرَهُ. Then perfected the shape. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then made the path easy for him. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ. Then caused him to die. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then puts him back into the grave. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. Then whenever he will, he is going to bring them back to the life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of our reality. And this is something that we really need to remind ourselves of it again and again. These ayahs, we need to really recite them. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. Which means, the person who's ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A human being who's ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ. That human being, that man is cursed. مَا أَكْفَرَ. How ungrateful he is. Then he reminds us. And these are the ayahs we should remind ourselves. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. When our nafs sometimes tells us that you are big, you are great. And that person should not talk to you like this. That person should treat you better. People should respect you. People should do this for you. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. We should remind ourselves. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. What is it that we are created out of? What did he create us out of? مِنْ نُطْفَ. Out of a drop. A dirty drop. That if it discharges, when human being discharges the drop, it's so dirty that we have to take shower. For using the bathroom, we never have to take shower. But when that drop comes out, we have to take shower. And we are made out of that drop. مِنْ نُطْفَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reason human beings get misled because خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. When he made him out of the dust, with a drop of semen, and then he made him from the dust. قَدَّرَهُ. He said, I perfected your shape. I made you look good. Gave you some abilities. Because of those abilities, the person feels I'm too big. And we don't realize that the one who gave us these abilities can take them out in seconds, can take them away in seconds. It doesn't take him long to take these abilities away from human beings. And it doesn't take too long for people to misuse their own abilities. They have a lot of abilities. It doesn't take too long for them to misuse them by themselves. Jails are full. Why? People who were disabled, they are the ones who committed the crime? No. Those are the people with good abilities. They use their abilities in a wrong place. People with strength, they were doing wrong to some other people. People with intelligence, they were using their brain, their intelligence, and their knowledge for hurting others, for stealing things. It doesn't take too long for a person to start misusing his abilities. And we, many times we hear a person who was very good in computers, and he was, through his computer techniques, he was able to ruin many people's computers through the internet. People were able to play with the security system of banks through the internet or through their computers. And they're using their knowledge, their abilities in that field, much more knowledgeable than all of us. But they use them in a wrong way. And so I was saying, it doesn't take too long for a person to misuse them. And at the same time, it doesn't take too long for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take them away. See, the hospitals are full. Every hospital is full. Why? Those abilities are taken from some people, and finally they end up in the hospitals. They were same human beings that were walking and jogging and everything, doing everything that we are doing. But in seconds, the person is... These are only means. The person is driving his car, had a car accident, ended up in the hospital, loses his brain. Someone broke his back. Someone broke his knee. These are only excuses. It's really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking them. And it's not necessary that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them, the person is sinner. Sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them to give the person these abilities in a better place when he would need them, because he knows if he would have them, he might end up misusing them. Or, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person for some of his qualities and would like to give that person highest status in the Jannah. Very high status in the Jannah. But that person's good deeds are not enough to take him to that status. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get him into some of the hardships. Through that hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exalt his status in the Jannah. And as we read also in Quran al-Kareem in Surah Al-Kahf, when Al-Khidr alayhi salatu was salam was going and Musa alayhi salatu was salam was with him, Al-Khidr alayhi salam killed a boy. What was the reason? It was the same reason. He knew that if this boy will grow up, he will go away from the right track, from Sirat al-Mustaqim. In fact, he will misguide his parents also. Will become a mean for taking his parents away from the Hidayah. So he took that boy's life, and he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace them with another boy who will not do all of this harm to them. So to the parents was a hardship. Someone killed their boy, but for a good reason. But nevertheless, the point still remains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that all of these abilities that we have, our eyesight, our understanding, our wisdom, our brain, our hearing, our power of speech, and everything that we have, it doesn't take too long for them to go away, to be taken away from us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that all of this is nothing. If you look at who you are and what we are made out of. This is why one of these scholars, Taba Tabi'in, if I remember correctly. So, one of the prime ministers was walking by and very proudly, very arrogantly. So he said to him, "Don't walk so arrogantly." So he turned toward that scholar and he said to him, "Do you know who I am? How can you ask me this? How can you tell me that don't walk so arrogantly? Don't you know who I am?" He said, "I know who you are. أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَةٌ مَذِرَةٌ. Your beginning was a dirty drop. وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَةٌ قَدِرَةٌ. And your end will be a rotten piece of body. وَأَنْتَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذِرَةِ in between the two periods, you are carrying all the dirt in your stomach. This is who you are. If there is anything else that you know about yourself, tell me. And really, this is our reality. This is why one of the scholars said, if a person really wants to know who he is, should think about himself, that who I am, when he's sitting in the bathroom. That all that nice food, expensive food, delicious food that has the nice smell, as soon as people will smell it, they will run to it, they will be willing to spend any amount of money for it. And after we eat it, a couple of hours later, we only know what we do to that, what happens to that food when it's in our sohbat, when it stays with us, when it stays in our company. That nice chicken that was in our company for a couple of hours, now we flush it down and we can't even stay with ourselves at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, and subhanallah, after reminding us this fact, look at what he says. A message, a very important message for all of us. Going back to these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what did he create him? مِنْ نُطْفَ. From a drop of semen. خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. He created him and perfected him. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then he made the path easy for him. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ. Then he caused him to die. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. And then buried him. قَبَر. Put him in the قَبَر. أَقْبَرَ. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. Then whenever he wished, he will bring him back to life. The day of judgment. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ. But yet, the human being have not done what he was commanded. لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ. Yet the human being is not fulfilling the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though we know that we were nothing, he created us, he gave us all the abilities, gave us everything that we have. And yet, لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ. We are not willing to fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is such an important fact in our life, that we are willing to be so nice and go extraordinary, go beyond our limits for people who might have done some favors to us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us all of this, لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ. We have not yet fulfilled His orders, and we are not even willing to do it. We are not even ready yet to do it. Here I would like to remind ourselves of a very important fact and a point that if we really think about it, we will realize that there is a lot of change we have to bring in our life. The ibadah that we perform, and all of us, if someone will tell us, including myself, all of us, if someone will tell any one of us that you are not a good Muslim, we might try to humble ourselves and say, yeah, I need to be better, but really we feel that I'm doing the best I can. But a fact that I would like to remind ourselves in the light of this ayah, لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ, that if we remember and if we look at our lives and the ibadahs that we are performing, we are very picky in the ibadahs that we perform. We choose certain ibadahs that we like to perform for different reasons. And we also choose certain things in our life that we don't like to do in spite of knowing that this is part of our deen. We also choose those things. We willingly ignore orders of Sharia knowing that this is from Islam, but I feel I'm doing certain things and that's enough for me. And I don't want to do this at this time. I'm not ready for it yet. Shaitan plays tricks with us. Sometimes he gives us some ibadahs that our nafs feel good when we do it. Sometimes shaitan makes us do a lot of salah, for example. Our nafs feel good in doing this salah because we know that when we perform the salah, people are also watching us. And people also are realizing that, mashallah, he's a good person. Because of this salah, I can get closer to these people. We look at our benefits from this ibadah. It's not because it's very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's because of certain other benefits that we have in our mind. This is why we have chosen these certain ibadahs. And some other ibadahs, we know that we don't have that much benefit from them. So those ibadahs, we have left them behind our back. When we compare our lives with the life of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, we see so many things are missing there. Why they are missing? Because we are picking and choosing. And we have chosen certain ibadah. Shaitan and our nafs are telling us that alhamdulillah, at least you are doing great. Other people are not doing even this much. You are better than disbelievers. You are better than those who are not following these sunnahs. Those who are not doing these ibadahs. But in reality, when we judge these ibadahs, we will find out that most of these ibadahs, there is no ikhlas. Intentions are not pure over there. There is some mixing up over there. Shaitan and our nafs, our desires have mixed up certain things for us. And made it look to us that we are really doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas really we might be doing satisfying our desires by that ibadah. This is why scholars have mentioned that when we recite Quran, when we perform the salah, when we do any type of ibadah and we don't feel like doing it, Shaitan sometimes tells us that stop it and just go ahead to the next ibadah. Don't do that. Force yourself to do that ibadah because we are not doing it to satisfy ourselves. We are doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not doing it to please our hearts and our minds. In many occasions, this is the case. I feel good in doing this, so I'll do it. But the other one, I did not feel too good in doing it, so this is why I just left it. We should force ourselves in doing those also, because our nafs is making us do only what our desire would like, would accept it from us. The other things that are not acceptable by our desires and our nafs, they tell us just leave. And this is one of the tricks of shaitan, that he gets a person involved in certain things and then satisfies that person's mind and heart that you are doing this, so you won't have to do the other things. And you know what happens? This is a fact, and this is a reality if we judge ourselves and look into our lives. Many times, certain things come in our life, we feel that this is too small of ibadah. We leave the small ones for the big ones, and we end up not doing even the big ones. And this is why it is a rule, never leave an ibadah considering it too small. Sometimes there is something that will take a second. It comes to our mind. Let me just say subhanAllah a couple of times while we are driving. And we say, you know, as I will get to the masjid, I will be performing the salah anyway. So that's okay. Let me now do something else. Because of the salah that we will be performing in the masjid, we stop doing that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came into our mind, you should do it at this time. And we say, you know, I'll do it. I will be performing the salah very soon. So we won't say subhanAllah. Whereas it doesn't take too long. It might be a matter of seconds. But shaitan plays these tricks with us. That don't do this, you will do something else better than this. This is how he starts keeping us away from the ibadah. This is why Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says, once I missed Salat al-Tahajjud. And those Sahaba were so great, subhanAllah. He missed Salat al-Tahajjud, and next day, the whole day he was crying. Before continuing with this, I remembered there was a scholar who was also known by Imam Bukhari. He is not the same Imam Bukhari who is the author of Sahih al-Bukhari. Another scholar who was also from the same town, Bukhara. One day he missed Salat al-Fajr. And of course he felt very bad of missing it. After some time, his son passed away. So a lot of people came to his home. And people are consoling him, you know, mashallah, take it easy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it. So when all the people got together, he said to those people that I'm not pleased at all by you people coming to my home today. He said, the day that I missed Salat al-Fajr, that day no one came to tell me, you know, mashallah, don't worry, inshallah, next time you will wake up and you will be able to make it, inshallah. You people feel that missing my son, losing my son is worse than missing the Salat al-Fajr? This was the importance to them of these salah and of these ibadahs.
You missed it completely or in the masjid?
Allah. So, Imam Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he did not wake up for Salat al-Tahajjud. When he woke up for Salat al-Fajr, he was crying for the whole day. Next day, at this time of Salat al-Tahajjud, someone was waking him up. He looked around. Who are you? How did you come to my home? He says, I'm Shaitan. So how can you are waking me for Salat al-Fajr? You are supposed for Salat al-Tahajjud. You are supposed to make people sleep for it, and here you are waking me up for Salat al-Tahajjud. He says, yes. The reason I'm waking you up because yesterday, last night, when you missed it, you cried so much that you got more reward by crying throughout the day for missing that Salat al-Tahajjud. I said it's better for you to wake up and do Salat al-Tahajjud than crying for the whole day. So he says, this person is going to do one of the two ibadahs, let him do the lesser of the two. This is how he plays with us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ. Yet, the human being have not done what he was ordered. And this ayah, the ayah number 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him to die. And then, فَأَقْبَرَهُ, then buried him under the ground. You know, the Hindu people, they do not bury the dead people. They cremate the dead people. They burn them. So, there was a Hindu who once asked the Muslims, he said, I like everything in your deen. This is the only thing I don't like. You bury the dead person. In our religion is better. We have a better way to deal with the dead people. And that is to burn that person's body right away. So he won't have to stay under the ground. The body won't be staying under the ground and getting rotten and all of that smells and everything. So it's better just to burn the dead bodies. So, one of the Muslims said to him, I will reply to this question after, but there is something else, another topic I would like to talk to you about. He said, according to your religion, tell me, if a person had a wife and a son, after some time, he also got a maid who used to cook the food for him, who used to prepare the meal for him. This person, he wanted to go out on a journey. So he says, that person wanted to leave his son with the maid and not with the mother, with the real mother. So what do you think? According to your religion, is this justice acceptable in your religion? That the person would leave the son with the maid who was there mainly to prepare the food for him and do some other work for him. and he takes the child away, the son away from the mother, he says, no, this is injustice. Even our religion does not accept that. He said, then, according to our religion, this is the same order, that human being is made out of the dust. That's the mother of the human being. And the fire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to the human being only to prepare his food and do some other work for him. So when the soul is taken away from this person, should we give him back to his mother or give him to that maid who was supposed to prepare the food for him? It was really a good example. Then the fire was given to us only for some other work. And this is beside the point, that just thinking about getting burned by itself is a horrible thing. That when a person thinks that as soon as I die, my own relatives will be burning me, and they will burn my body. According to our Islam, according to the Sharia of Islam, the human body is so much respectable that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in the hadith, breaking the bone of a dead person is just like breaking the bone of a living person. Which simply means, as it is a sin to break a bone of a living person, similarly it is a sin to break the bone of a dead person. It's a respect. So, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then he caused him to die and then buried him. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ Then whenever he wants, he will bring him back to life. كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ But yet, the human being have not done what he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors you. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ The human being should look at his food. Another way of realizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence and greatness and favors. He says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ Every human being should look at his food. طَعَام, food. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّى Look how the food is prepared. It's not just that it was in the store and we went and bought it. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّى We poured the water in abundance. A lot of water has to come. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى Then we split the earth right open. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّى Then we caused the grain to grow. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا And grapes and vegetables. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا And olive and palm trees. وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا And thick gardens. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا And fruit and fooders. Pastures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of these things will not be there if the water will not come. And at the same time, if there is a lot of water, but the earth is not giving the opening for these plants to come out. And really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, He made the earth in such a way, it carries any burden on it. We put the huge buildings on it. Any weight will take it. And at the same time, a small plant comes out of the earth and it keeps on opening it for him, for that plant. And look at these small plants that have small roots in the beginning, how they keep on making their way under the ground, subhanallah. They keep on making their way under the ground. And finally, these same roots become so strong that they are holding the big trees that we cannot pull them out without bulldozers. If we were to think about that, pull a small plant out of the ground and think about these small roots of the plant, that would these roots be able to keep on digging the hole under the ground and keep on getting further and further? They're so small, tiny, and so soft that we can break them between our fingers. But they keep on making their way. How they make it? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is giving them that power under the ground to keep on making their way under the ground and keep on splitting the ground. The ground keep on splitting for it, and they keep on going further and further under the ground, and then finally keep on getting stronger, and then we see a huge tree standing on it. And they are holding these big trees. In fact, these roots of the tree, if we know it and we have seen it also, that sometimes they can destroy big buildings if they start getting into the roots of the buildings. This is how strong they get. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this fact, that see how all of this, all of these food is getting prepared. And really, if we think about it, we can never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this food. The food that we are receiving and that we get to eat, we can never pay any person for it. We only pay for the store owners or the restaurants for preparing it for us and having it available for us over there. That's all we are paying it for. Otherwise, to pay for the food itself, that's only Alhamdulillah. Bismillah and Alhamdulillah, that's only something that will pay something for it, and we will be able to say Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we really realize who you are by providing us this food. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, when a person eats the food and after eating his meal he says Alhamdulillah, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. Why? He realized the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided me with this food. We realize that no one else can provide us with this food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then he says, مَتَعَلْ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ, I have prepared all of this as a provision for you, benefit for you and your cattle. So all of this is what we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us is reminding us that something that every human being uses, this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala food, we all use it. And in fact, nowadays, we might use it than ever before in the history. Every time we enter our home, the first thing we might run to is to the fridge and to the kitchen, to the faucet to get some water. Just think in those days when it was so difficult for them even to get the waters in their home, so they had to think before drinking, should I now keep on drinking it because I have to then bring more water later on? So how much should I drink? For using the bathroom, they had to think, if I drink now, then I will have to keep on using the bathroom and I have to go all the way out there for using the bathroom. I don't want to eat at this time. And fridge and stoves and microwaves and all of these facilities that we have, that's making us just continuously keep on filling our stomachs. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, شَرُّ وِعَاءٍ يَمْلَأُهُ إِبْنُ آدَمٍ, the worst part that human being fills is his stomach. Because he keeps on just trashing everything in it. Whatever he gets, he feels that it can go in there, he will just pick it up and throw it in there. Whatever we get into our stomach, at least that should make us realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember the provider who's there for us. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with all of these blessings, now you have to think, don't forget, because after we get the blessings, especially food is something, when the person gets a lot of food and he gets enough to eat that he's full all the time, then the person forgets about akhirah, forgets about everything else. And this might be one of the reasons that during the month of Ramadan, we give more charity, we try to be even more humble and nice than any other time of the year. We feel that I was a little away from food. And really staying away from food for some time, for some hours, creates some good qualities in the human being. By itself, the quality, the staying from food by itself is a good thing for a human being, for not to eat for some hours and for some period of time. That will give the human being a way to open up his mind and to think about some other things. Otherwise, just the food sticks into our mind. And this other hadith will explain this, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there will be people who will say, hadith is nothing. We just need the Quran. The book of Allah is enough for us. We don't need the hadith. But when he said about those people, he said, those will be the people, muttaki'un ala arikati, shab'an, a person who will be full, his stomach is full, and he's leaning against his pillows. Which simply means the person has a lot of wealth now. And he gets good food all the time. So now he forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgets about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He forgets about deen and everything else. So this is normally what food does to us. When we get enough of food and all the time the stomach stays full, then the person forgets about akhirah, about Allah, and about all the ibadah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore reminds us that this food is there. But remember, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَةُ, when the big shout will come. As-sakha. Sakha means a strong shout. And in this ayah, this as-sakha is referring to the second blowing in the trumpet on the Day of Judgment when the people will come back to life. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَ, when the shout or the strong shout will come, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, the day when the human being will be running away from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and his mother and his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and his wife and his children, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ, every person on that day will have a concern that will make him heedless to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. He says, remember that day. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, people will be running away from their brothers. How dear our brothers are to us today. And how many times when we get into difficulty we think, I'll go to my brother now. But that day people will be running from their brothers. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, to the extent they will be running away from their mothers and from their fathers. A mother, the most merciful person to us in this life. Any other person might see us in a difficulty and will feel that that's fine, let him go through some disheartenment. A mother will feel, no, let me just get him out of this. He will understand. But that day, we will be running from our own mothers. Imagine. We will be running from our fathers. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, people will be running away from their wives and will be running away from their children. Why? For two different reasons we will be running away. One is because we are afraid those people might ask us for some of their rights. Our parents will ask us. Today, we feel, oh, don't worry about it, you can do anything wrong to them and they'll forgive. But if we don't get their forgiveness in this life, on the Day of Judgment, they will ask us for it. And on the Day of Judgment, they will not forgive us. And we won't forgive our children. وَصَاحِبَتِي وَبَنِي, the wife will not forgive her husband, and the husband will not forgive the wife. On that day, no one will forgive another person. If a person can get one reward from the other person, a mother can pull away one reward from her son, she would do it. Although she might know that by pulling this one reward away, the son will be thrown in the hellfire, she says, fine, you can go to the hellfire, I can afford to give you this one reward. I have to take it back from you. On that day, you did not treat me well. You owe me these many rewards for that act, for that day, for that disobedience, for that curse, for that word, and she would take it from us. And we will take it from our children, although we know that God forbid, if I take this from him, he will be going to hellfire, yet we won't be forgiving our children. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us in this life, again and again, أَدُّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, fulfill the rights of every person. Fulfill the rights of all the people. And involve yourself into these things only as much as we can fulfill people's rights. we have to fulfill our rights. And especially in this life, we are full of rights and responsibilities. So we have to fulfill our responsibilities towards others. Unfortunately, nowadays, the situation is totally different. And all the message that we get nowadays from places of education and everywhere, the only thing we hear is people are asking for their own rights, not looking at their responsibilities. Everyone wants his right. But instead of looking for rights, every person, Islam teaches us that look at your responsibilities. Wealthy people are looking for their rights today. That, you know, if I'm helping you, you should give me this respect, you should do this for me. Yes, there are rights for them. But we should be looking for our responsibilities. Poor people are looking for their rights. And every time we hear rights of children, rights of husband, right of woman, right of husband, parents, right of this, we need to know the rights of other people so that we can fulfill their rights. Women are out today, then we need the right of women. If every person will be asking for his rights, there will be no one there to fulfill the responsibilities. Because when we look for our rights and we run after rights, then we always feel that our rights are being neglected and we must get them. And once the person feels that that person is neglected and other person owe him a lot, at that time this person can never do the justice to others. Then we cannot do the justice to those people. If all the women are asking for their rights, so then they will be looking at men that this man owe me something. So at this time, if I have any power to mistreat him, to get my right back from him, I have to do it. This is why Sharia is reminding us. And nowadays here, they are teaching the children, look for your rights. Your parents are supposed to do this for you. They are supposed to do this for you. They are not supposed to do these things for you. Everyone is just running after their rights. Sharia is teaching us, looking for your responsibilities, because on the Day of Judgment, we will be questioned about our responsibilities. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have some slaves. They always keep on doing something wrong. And I keep on cursing at them and I punish them also, Ya Rasulullah. How we would be judged on the Day of Judgment? Because they do a lot of wrong things. And I keep on cursing them and I keep on punishing them also. How we would be judged on the Day of Judgment? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will present all of their wrongdoings and they will pay you for all of their wrongdoings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring all of what you are doing and saying to them. And if that is equal to what they have done, then you people will break even. And if they have done more wrong things, then you will be paid for it. And if you have done more to them, more wrong to them than they have done to you, then you will be paying to them. He said, Ya Rasulullah, that is too difficult. I can't deal with it because I don't know whether I curse more or that wrongdoing was worse. I don't know if this deed deserves 2 curses or 3 curses. I don't know. So Ya Rasulullah, it's too difficult. He said, then you have to be careful with it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, then the only way I can be careful is I'm setting all of them free. I don't need any help from these people because they will always be doing something wrong. I will always be doing something to them and I cannot stand this till the Day of Judgment. I have to forgive them for everything they have done, get their forgiveness for whatever I have said and just let them go. And this is what he did. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say to that sahabi, oh, you don't have to set them free and, you know, just be nice to them. That person feels it's too difficult. Yeah, it is difficult. He cannot make it easier than that. Because the situation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us very clearly that يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The people who are closest to us in this life, the people who whom we depend on in this life, And the people that will be the most helpful in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will be running away from them. That will be the one reason that we will run away from them. The second reason that people will be running away from their relatives, because in this life, we are doing so many things that other people don't know we are doing them. That day, everything will be up front. All the people will know the deeds of others. So we will be trying to cover our face and hide our face somewhere that I don't want now my parents will see me that, were you doing all of this? My children will see me with all of these deeds. They will say, Dad, we thought you were so nice. Husband and wife, everyone. We all might be doing sins and wrong deeds that other people are not aware of. And this is why people will be trying to hide away from their relatives. That I don't know. How can I face those people with these sins now? SubhanAllah. This tells us that how clean we have to keep our record in this life. And how much istighfar we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that our record will get clean and we won't have all of those things that will humiliate us on the Day of Judgment. And how clean our record has to be in order for us not to be and not to have to pay to other people on the Day of Judgment, wa'ayyazu billah. And God forbid we come with a lot of reward. And I don't know how much reward we will all come with. We all know that the minimum ibadah that we are performing, after asking all the time, is it fard? Is it wajib? If it is fard, I have to do it. Wajib, I have to do it. Sunnah muakkada, okay, I'll try my best to do it. Just regular sunnah, forget about it. How hardly we are trying to skip all of these things, and what's the minimum limit that we are performing our ibadahs, with this minimum limit, if we come on that day, and still we have to pay some other people for some other things that we have done, subhanAllah, then what else we have? If even the minimum requirement is not there and we are losing the reward of that minimum requirement and we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have given away the reward of many salah and many fasts and we don't have the extras over there, what else do we have then? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this and very important ayahs for us to remind ourselves. لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. Every person will have a concern on the Day of Judgment that will make him totally heedless of others and careless of others, will not worry about anyone else. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, even Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam on that day will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, I'm just afraid about myself. I'm just afraid of myself, about myself. People will be going to great Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam that go, please, go and intercede on our behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the judgment to start. And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, all these great prophets of Allah, they will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, I'm afraid of myself, about myself, I'm afraid about myself. Allah is very upset today, He's very angry today, I cannot go and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. That day, some faces will be bright, as they will get, they will know that they are going to Jannah, and they will get their good deeds in the right hand, they will book of the deeds in the right hand, so they will know they are going to Jannah. مُسْفِرَةٌ. أَسْفَرَةِ الشَّمْسِ means the sun became very bright and it's shining. So faces will be bright, as bright and as shining, just like when the sun comes out. ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Laughing, rejoicing. ضَاحِكَةٌ, they will be laughing. مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ, very pleased. And really, بُشْرَةٌ is a good news. And مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ is the happiness that the person gets by having a good news. So they will be rejoicing, they will be laughing. وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ. God forbid, some faces will have dust on them. They will be dusty. غَبَر, غَبَرَ means غُبَار, is the dust. So other faces on that day will be dusty. تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ. Darkness will cover them أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. Those will be two type of people. Al-kafara, those will be the disbelievers and the evildoers. Kuffar are disbelievers. Fajr is a person who's used to committing sins. And we know Fajr. In Sharia, we talk about it. Fasiq, Fajr, similar terms for Fasiq and Fajr. So, Fajra means evildoers. So, evildoers' faces on that day will be dusty, and there will be darkness will be covering the face and the faces of those people who are going to Jannah. And of course, we can imagine that they will be very shiny. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of our faces shiny on that day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent us from his azab. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us against all the punishments of the akhirah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.